From John 17, verses 15 through 21, and Acts 1, the first 8 verses. I'm not asking that you take them out of this world, but that you keep them safe from the evil one. They don't belong to this world, just as I don't belong to this world. Make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. I made myself holy on their behalf so that they also would be made holy in the truth. I'm not praying only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their word. I pray they will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I pray they also will be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. And Luke writes, Theophilus, the first scroll I wrote concerning everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning, right up to the day when he was taken up into heaven. Before he was taken up, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus instructed the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking to them about God's kingdom. While they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He said, "This is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the times or seasons that the Father is set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we do ask that you would open our eyes, our minds, our hearts. Gracious Lord, we pray that we would be aware of another presence here with us, that the Holy Spirit, as he moves among us, would give each of us something we need this day, that you would equip and empower us to live the lives you have called us to live and to live out the mission you have given us in this world, in which we, even as you, are on loan. We pray in Jesus' matchless name. Two very different scriptures, but one goal, and that is that the world may know Jesus, that people everywhere may experience the person and the power of Jesus Christ in their hearts and lives, that they may be transformed by that power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to continue what began all those hundreds of years ago. And even beyond, in the mind of God, in the heart of God, and in the blood of Christ spilled on our behalf there on the cross of Calvary. John gives us a little different picture than the first three or the synoptic gospels. They focus a little more on getting through the meal, of moving on out, and they're wrestling in prayer, in coming to terms with the cross. John gives us a much different picture. John fleshes out the dinner conversation. He gives us this whole thing of how Jesus, up till the very end, was trying to teach and trying to help them get the idea and to get the picture of what they were about and what the kingdom was about and what they would be expected to do once he was no longer present with them in the flesh. And by all appearances, it went right over their heads. One cannot help but wonder if Jesus wasn't a little frustrated and wasn't literally pulling his hair and saying, "You've got to be kidding me. You still don't get this stuff? You still don't understand what it's all about, why I've come? You still don't get this whole thing of what I'm expecting of you and what you're being called to do?" And one wonders why Jesus didn't say, whoa, "Sorry, Father, I can't come now. They need me too much." For even at the last minute, they're saying, so do we get the kingdom now? Do we get to be generals in the kingdom? Do we get to be princes and reign and all of this stuff?" And Jesus says, "You don't get it." "I get it that you don't get it. But you will. And the only way you're going to get it is in prayer and in steeping yourself in the Word and in realizing that you're not part of this world any more than I was. And that you have a mission that I want to help you, that God wants to help you, the Holy Spirit wants to help you accomplish. There is some question as to whether last Sunday or this Sunday is Ascension Sunday. Some have celebrated it one way or the other. We've chosen this Sunday with those 10 days from the time that Jesus ascended, falling kind of right at the end before we came into coming into this week, this Sunday. But that's not what it's all about, is it? Jesus was focusing on Pentecost. I always lament when conference falls over Pentecost. I don't mind not missing Father's Day. Okay, I'm a father. So what? That's great. I thank God for it. But, hey, but something else, wow, that's really important is that God has given us the Holy Spirit, that Jesus has reminded us that we have a focus, that we have a responsibility, that God has been doing all that He is doing in our lives to equip and empower us for where we are right here and now in the world in which we live. A world that we are called not to be a part of, not to get so hung up on things, not to get so hung up on prestige and power, not to get so hung up on all of the trappings that we miss the mission. That the mission is that the world may know Jesus. And if our lives are not focused on that mission, then we need to recalibrate and allow the Holy Spirit to push the reset button, as it were, and refresh our hearts, our lives, our spirits in the power of God. Jesus prayed, we are told by John, before they left that upper room, that Jesus prayed for the disciples, that yes, the others tell us about the body and the blood. Here, John tells us that Jesus was praying for unity, praying for focus, praying for these disciples, and then he turns, as it were, and he prays for us, for all who follow and who come to him later on in ensuing years because of the witness, because of the testimony, because of the gospel, because of what Jesus has done in the hearts and the lives of those in that upper room. And now because of what he has done in us. Yes, we are called to remember who and whose we are, as we've been reminded. We are called to remember our mission and to be faithful, that the world may know that God has sent Jesus to die on a cross for our sins, to rise, to live forever, and to promise that eternal relationship with us that God desires to have. Wow. So much. So much. so great, the love of God in Christ Jesus. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for your love, for your call, to know that you have prayed for us and you continue to make intercession for us, that you continue to plead our case before the Father. And gracious Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can be a part of the kingdom. We thank you that this world that is passing, this world that is only temporary, this life that is only temporary, will give way to eternity. And there we find you waiting, waiting for us in love and power. Help us, O Lord, to be equipped to remember and to help others in the journey with us, to help to bring them along, that the table may be filled. In Jesus' name, amen.